Welcome to Let's Talk Land, a weekly land education talk show devoted to learning about land and farms, buying and selling, and ownership, especially for real estate agents and realtors. Learn from the experts, free land education. Hi, my name's Lou Jewell. I'm an accredited land consultant with United Country Real Estate, Sutton Properties. Our new office name, along with my co-host, Teresa Martin, who's one of our agents. Good morning, Teresa.
Hi, Lou.
How are you today?
I am wonderful.
Okay. You brought your doggie with you?
Yes, I did. You know, she's my sidekick.
You got Molly, and we got Shadow, and we got Rodney. We got our three pets. Buying and selling homes, land or farms, or want to auction your property in western Piedmont, North Carolina, or southern Virginia, give us a shout. We'll help you out. Our new office is at 102 East Main Street next to BB&T Bank in downtown Pilot Mountain, North Carolina. Please make a note of our changes. Our new company website is www.allsuttonproperties.com. That's allsuttonproperties.com. This show is dedicated to the Realtors Land Institute, its members, and its staff. Our show sponsor today is LandHub.com. View thousands of properties for sale at LandHub.com. A program note, Dr. Barbie's Ask the Doctor show will now follow this show and will air at 10 a.m., so stay tuned. And Dr. Barbie's always got something good to offer. Hey, our guest today is Eric Andrews. Hey, Eric.
Good afternoon, Luke.
Welcome. Eric is owner of a Realty Rural Carolina Properties. You guys have, out of Pittsburgh, do you have three offices or just the one?
We have three offices. We're in downtown Pittsburgh. We're on Highway 64 in Siler City, and we're at the clubhouse at the Chapel Ridge Golf Community.
I like the clubhouse. That sounds great. Eric is an accredited land consultant like myself, part of the Realtors Land Institute. We have about 1,300 members nationwide, and we have just a little over 500 accredited land consultants, and our website's www.rliland.com. So if you're looking to buy or sell in different areas all over the country, you can always go to our website and look for an ALC or at least a member that has some type of land education. So you're calling from Pittsburgh, North Carolina, right?
Pittsburgh, yep.
Your firm has successfully closed over 1,500 transactions, totaling over $2 million in gross sales. Your personal performance has been over $100 million, so you've done half of the company's business. Good for you. Due to the high volume of this firm, has been able to surround itself with competent, loyal professionals. Eric also has two assistants, transaction coordinator Laura Burkhart and office assistant Gail Andrews. And Gail must be kin to you.
She is. She's my mom.
All right, Mom. Got to have moms. Eric, as I mentioned, is accredited land consultant, one of the most difficult accreditations to obtain in the Association of Realtors. He's also a licensed auctioneer. You have the GRI Graduates of Realtors Institute designation as well. And, of course, you've been a member of RLI. You were our chapter president a number of years ago, and you're actually on our board as our vice president for the next 2 years. So thank you for your service, Eric. It means a lot to us, and you've always done a good job. You also remember the National Association of Auctioneers and the Auctioneers Associations of North Carolina and the North Carolina Association of Realtor Property Management Division. So you're constantly receiving more education and adding his affiliates to fields related to real estate. He feels that the more he knows, the more he can help his clients. And that's a proven fact in our industry. The more land education and real estate education that you get, the more money you make. Teresa, when are you going to go to school?
I go to school every day.
You do. You do great. Right. She does a great job. Hey, just a few of your accomplishments. You were on our board back in 2006 and 2008, as vice president and, of course, our president of our chapter. You've also won several awards with Realty World Hall of Fame and the National TCAR Million Dollar Land Sales Club, or top producers, and top 50 agents in the Triangle agent. So, hey, you want the guy for the job, Eric's the man. So we'll make sure you guys listening today and in the future can get in touch with him. You also got Chatham County's Distinguished Business Person of the Year in 2008, Realty World, and the Carolinas Multi million-dollar-plus producer since 2000. So you also serve on the local commissioner and at the courts as an expert witness assisting in matters of land valuation, petition of partitions, separation and divorce, and eminent domain hearings. So I do some of that myself, and I tell you, I enjoy doing it. It's quite a service that we provide. Of course, the greatest benefit to your clients is your experience and ability to prove a smooth real estate transaction. Unfortunately, problems sometimes arise, and our firm has been an ability to overcome such problems, and it is our hope that our clients may never be aware of such problems. This attribute makes our office stand out from the rest. And you guys, like I said, you're the star of the state in that part of the world. What other counties do you guys cover other than Chatham?
So I used to teach high school and civics, and one of the things that we taught in our civics class was to remember the counties that border Chatham County. So it was an acronym that we remembered: Hold Warm. So we're Harnett, Orange, Lee, Durham, Wake, Alamance, Randolph, and Moore.
Good gracious!
So those are the eight counties that surround Chatham County, and I tend to delve into those. I don't go too far outside of those. I do a little bit in Guilford County, a little bit in Montgomery County, but try not to go too far. It's a big state, and you start getting out of the area that you know, you start not representing your clients as well, I believe.
That's true, and that's why we do the referrals. And so, you know, if you guys are in another part of the world, realtors out there, Eric's the go-to person, not only for expertise in land transactions, but he's also an auctioneer and provides full services, even property management. So, like I said, Eric's the one to go to. Tell us a little bit about the realtor world. You know, we're a United Country franchise. We were the first franchise founded in 1928, I believe, or 1926. And then ERA came along, and then Century 21, and so on and so on. Tell us about your mothership, your franchise.
So we've been involved with the Realty World National franchise since we opened 20 years ago. And one of the things that I found out is in North Carolina, they were big on the coast, and they were big in the mountains, but they weren't big in the central area. There weren't a whole lot of them. Nationally, they hover around one of the top 10 national franchises, but they're certainly smaller than like Remax or Century 21 or something like that. But they're real big in California, Michigan, Florida area, but you know, not huge nationally. Really, what it comes down to at this point in our life and our career is that we've been around for 20 years, and so as far as the local real estate environment, people know the Realty World name, and there's a lot of mom-and-pop shops in our market, and there are a lot of big firms in the Raleigh-Chapel Hill market. We represent like a combination of the two. We're a national franchise, so people feel as though, you know, they're getting more attention, training, and national referrals from that. We're not one of those big, huge firms, so kind of like the best of both worlds for our local clientele.
Yeah, you know, our subject today, especially with our current environment, is how do you make money with real estate? So we're going to get into that in our show, Teresa, today. So listen to the whole show and learn how to make some money in real estate. So having the franchise obviously gives you more exposure. And, of course, they have educational programs. We do. And it just keeps the best of the best out there. So there's nothing wrong with the sole proprietorships or the small independent companies or even large ones. But, you know, I think the franchises just have a little bit more advantage and expertise. At least that's my opinion. So right now you're also licensed auctioneer. Why is this good sales? Why is this a good sales tool?
Well, so we do a few estate sales, and I work with a lot of attorneys and local attorneys handle estates here. And so they refer us business sometimes. And sometimes those families, those that are inheriting the property, they want their proceeds as soon as possible. And so, you know, rather than divvy it out, with an auctioneer and a real estate company, and if they have personal property plus real estate. Auctions provide some benefits to some particular sellers or some particular properties, but it's not for everyone. One of the things they teach us in auction school are the 4 D's: death, divorce, debt, and desperation. And those four seem to be some of the strongest categories as far as auction is concerned. But it's not just the personal situation. It can also be the specific property. So if it's a very unique property, like an equestrian facility or some kind of home/business or maybe a kennel, you know, when it's a real, real particular specialized property, very unique, maybe that would work best for an auction. If there's like a really, really high demand, you know, and there's some aspects of real estate that are just really, really like strong demand, like anything in the 200 to 250 range, we're in a multiple offer situation right now. So auction might be a viable solution if there's a high demand. But sometimes the opposite is true. If there's an inventory shortage, auction's good, but maybe if there's an inventory surplus, auction is good. And Lou, I know you know there's absolute auctions or auctions with reserve, and you know everyone's situation is different. But a lot of data is out there that if people do an absolute auction, there's so much more people that are interested in the auction that those often actually fetch a higher price. That means if someone's willing to auction it out a reserve, sometimes that attracts a lot more attention and actually brings the price up higher.
Yeah, and you don't set, you know, when you go list a piece of property, you establish a listing price, and that's the top usually, and I've raised prices too. I mean, I had one story. I had a client, and I had his land listed for like $99,000. And I had this agent call me. He says, "Hey, Lou, I got you an offer on that property." I said, "Cool, what is it?" He said, "It's $50,000. I said, "That's a great offer." I said, "I'll get back to you." So I called my client up, and I presented the offer. He says, "You don't always sell it for $50,000. I said, "Well, we have to present all offers as if it came directly to you." And I said, "Are you at your computer?" He said, "Yeah, I am." I said, "Would you send me an email and instructing me to raise the price to $150,000? He said, "Lou, I can't do that." I said, "You own the property. You can do whatever you want to do." He said, "Why are you doing it?" I said, "Just do me a favor, do that so I can put it in the MLS and stand by." So he did, and I did, and I called the agent back, and I said, "Well, I presented your offer to the client." I said, "Are you at your computer?" He said, "Yes, I am." I said, "Go pull up the listing." And he pulled it up. He said, "I thought it was listed at $99,000. It says it's been increased to $150,000. I said, "Yeah, that's my response to your offer." I said, "Would you let your client know that we've raised the price on it?" He says, "Well, this is quite unusual." And I said, "Look, you know, we have to do what we're instructed to do. That's the law." So a little bit later, he called me back. He says, "Would he take $95,000 for it?" So I called my client. He said, "Send the contract." So, you know, it's a little game. But with the auction, my point being is that you don't establish a high-end price. And if it's really a hot property or you have two or more interested parties, that's all you really need to have a successful auction. At least that's been my experience over the years. And sometimes you'll get way more than what you would have listed it for. So, and the other thing about it, it's usually a 30-day close after the auction. It may take a month or 2 months to advertise it. So, mm-hmm. you know, you're looking at 60, 90 days and go pick up your check or checks. So,
well, that's one of the reasons why, especially with the estate attorneys, they like that there is a definitive or nearly definitive closing date. Like you said, 30 plus the advertising, 60, 90 days or whatever. And the other thing that the attorneys really like and the heirs really like is not only is there a definitive closing date, but there's usually no inspections. Or if there are inspections, they're done at like one day before the bidding. There's no that negotiation of repairs. usually it's a cash sale if we're not dealing with appraisals. So, you know, and most auctioneers and most sellers require a nice chunk of change down for the bidding process. So, you know, instead of that 500 or 1% down for earnest money, there can be 10 or 20% that's required at an auction, and that's some walk away pain. If the person doesn't close after they make a bid, they're risking a substantial down payment. So it's usually, in a lot of ways, it can be much, much smoother for the seller.
Okay, our guest today is Eric Andrews. This is Let's Talk Land. Thanks to our sponsor, Land Hub. Sell your land of your dreams. We just talked about auctions, and there's a whole lot. We could do a whole show on auctions, and I've done a couple. And you're welcome to come back and talk about yours as well. But I want to keep this thing moving because people are sitting there with bated breath wanting to know how to make money with real estate. So let's go to the next subject here. So how is the current market for auction business right now and why?
I don't think it's great for auction business right now because I feel as though the system for selling real estate just on the open market pretty strong still. But I do believe that could change in the future. Like one of the things I was saying before is if you have inventory shortage, auctions can be good. And there are some areas of real estate right now. I think the 250 residential or 200 residential is very, very strong and has an inventory shortage. So that might be good for auctions. But also, if we see the market turn, if something happens to the economy or it's not as strong as it has been for the last several months or last few years, then we could have a surplus of inventory. And when we have a surplus, I think auction is a good method to sell property. But right now, everything seems to be cooking along pretty good.
Yeah, I remember after 2008 fiasco, or whatever you want to call it, downturn in the market. I know auction business really picked up there, especially those that really need to liquidate for mortgage reasons and other reasons. But, you know, right now we don't know where we are, but we know the business is good, and it really hadn't stopped. Therese and I and our company, we had the best first quarter we've had since we've been in business, and second quarter is even looking stronger. So keep it coming, guys. What are some of the other methods to list and sell real estate?
Well, so there is a term called pocket listings. I really don't like pocket listings, but there are pocket sellers. And, you know, when you've been in the business for a long time, you happen to know people that own a lot of real estate, and they'll come up and tell you, Eric, I'm not going to sign a listing agreement. I don't really want a sign in my yard. I don't want to advertise it. But just to let you know, I do have this 100 acres, and if the right person were to come along, I might be interested in selling. And so, you know, it's not your traditional style of real estate by any means, but if I have that person walk through my door or call me up and say, Eric, I got to have 100 acres in North Chatham, if you've been in the business for a long time, I think I can call this person up and say, hey, actually have a buyer, what's your price today, and maybe we can figure something out. So I don't like the term pocket listings. I know not every real estate professional likes the term pocket listings, but pocket sellers, you know, you've been in the business for a long time, you know, people that own a lot of stuff that might be willing to sell. So, you know, it's not the traditional style. They don't have it listed. It's not on the market, but it's still a way to bring buyers and sellers together.
Yeah, you know, I've experienced a little bit of that. I don't advocate it, but you know, those situations do arise for different reasons. And obviously in our industry, we're not allowed to discriminate for any reason, and that's right. Very important. We have to follow the federal laws, and that's important too, because sometimes that will happen. And I just walk away from those listings. I don't want to get involved in them, and most realtors right. would. But any other methods that you can think of? That was a good one. Forgot about the pocket listers.
The other thing we have is that we do a lot of property management, and you know, after a landlord anymore. And so we've made deals where that has turned into either owner financing, lease option, or, you know, outright sale. We've helped them get a mortgage, and we've had in-house sales that way.
Teresa, got any questions? No questions?
Not about that, but I do have questions.
Oh, okay.
But
You're waiting.
Mine is at the bottom question.
You're waiting for the big part of the show.
I have lots. Yeah, I'm waiting for the big part.
All right. Well, just sit there with bated breath.
I'm just learning right now and making notes.
I'm the professor. You're the student. And Eric is our expert.
And that's what a good student does, is make notes.
Okay. Well, you've got a page full of them. Hope we have enough time to cover them. But what is there any other methods of listing and selling real estate you can think of?
I can't think of anything. What have I missed?
I don't know. I've been with you about a little bit longer in business, but I think we covered that pretty good.
Yeah.
I don't know about Realty World, but I know United Country, they really push us to get involved in social media. You know, do you think that has a positive effect, and why? It does for our company.
I do think it has a positive effect. I think I might have a different viewpoint than some other people have. I think it is important for a good real estate agent to be involved with the community. Let people in the community know that what their involvement is. Personally, I don't push individual listings on social media. And I know a lot of people do it. I know a lot of people have success with it, but it's just not my style. I don't put up that I have this piece of land for sale or this house for sale, but I do put up stuff like, you know, I'll post that I was on Lou's radio show today.
There you go.
Post that.
That'll get you a lot of business.
Doing that. just to show involvement and, you know, that I'm trying to top of things. I'm trying to sharpen my craft. But I've gone to some social media classes, and it is funny how they break it down. You know, first of all, they told us that Facebook is for old people, which really hurt my feelings because Facebook's my favorite. But they said that Facebook is mainly the boomers, and, you know, Instagram is millennial. But mostly pictures. Twitter is mostly information, a little bit of humor, but again, a lot of millennials. They said that, and I have a social media and SEO technician that helps me out with my internet and social media, and he has me on Pinterest, which I found Pinterest is 93% women. So, but it's good to have information on Pinterest as well. The thing that I've really focused on, and I've had a phenomenal amount of success with, has been the YouTube channel. I think a lot of people like video. It's an excellent way to talk about a particular topic, and it's a good way to show off profit.
Absolutely.
So YouTube has been absolutely huge for me. I'm not going to say that I probably have a couple hundred videos out right now. Some of them get more views than others, but when I go on a listing appointment now, almost 100% of my sellers have said I've seen your YouTube videos. So when they're looking up information, they're using that as a method of finding an agent.
There you go, Teresa. Get on YouTube.
I love that.
Yeah? I can see you on YouTube now.
Oh, my wheels are turning. I like that idea.
Well, you know, with the advent, especially for land, and Teresa knows this, we use a lot of drone exposure to the properties, and then we'll couple it with the GoPro for the got the aerial, and then you got the trails and the features, and combine those two. But one thing that we've done that's been successful that I'll share with you and other realtors out there is we use the 3x3. Signs on fence posts with the straps, the plastic straps, and we actually put the aerial topo, floodplain with call-outs of the features of the property, the aerial, right there on the 3x3 sign. And we've got the acreage on there. And then what we do, Eric, is we put the QRC on there, and it says property information. So a client pulls up to a piece of property, knows it's 120 acres, plus or minus, and goes to the property queue there, and it pulls up the MLS. So now they got the taxes and all the other information that's pertinent. And then with our tour, we put a header on top of the sign. It says drone tour with another QRC. So they can pull up the QRC. They can stand there on the land. But when we actually download the video, we actually do a split screen where we have the same aerial topo map that's on the sign. And as the drone or the GoPro moves around on the property, there's an arrow that moves as the drone and instrument does, and is pointing in the direction of the camera. So you can literally sit there and take a full tour of the property, standing right there at the edge of it. And of course, vacant land, normally, you know, we invite customers to go look at it. You know, it's not like a home where you gotta make the appointment. And, you know, I've sold real estate 2 and 3 hours from my office, just off the sign, because all the information's there. So, you know, it's just another way of promoting real estate right there on the site. It's been very successful. Teresa, what do you do?
With what?
Marketing.
Well, I do that.
We used to make my signs.
I used to make your signs. I use the drone tours and the videos. I think they're very powerful. And I think using a good photographer is key.
Yeah.
I think getting good pictures is, because I've saw some pictures that were really bad. And some people don't use enough pictures. I think that a picture is worth 1,000 words.
It's probably sometimes worth more than that. Mm-hmm. Now, for residential, you know, we use, what's that system we use now? What's it called?
Matterport.
Eric, are you using that?
No, I'm not familiar.
It's a three-dimensional tour with the lay of the house. You go in and you set it up in each room, and it does a 360, and it puts it all together with the layout of the home. So as you open the door, you walk in, and you can spin around 360. You can look up. You can look down. You go down the hall. You put another one. You can see the views from the hall. And you can also measure the rooms, which is interesting. It's a $4,000 product. You may want to look at that. But it's been very, very successful for us.
That I just started doing that a couple months ago. And on the property, she's done the 3D tours, and there's some websites that feature the 3D tours. So I have been doing that. I didn't know it was a Manafort system.
Well, they're different ones. That's the one that we selected.
You guys bought the product yourself. I've been subcontracting it.
Yeah, we do too.
I was going to say.
Yeah.
Well,
and we also use professional photographers too.
Yeah. Well, we're out doing our own Matterport. And I really think that what he's doing is subcontracting and is smart, because it really takes a lot of time.
Well, time is.
Well, I mean, you can spend 4 hours on a property easy.
Well, and their technology just keeps on changing.
Oh, totally.
Yeah.
Yeah, we interviewed one guy that was part of NASA in the old days, and when I think it was 2006, the government allowed the individuals and corporations access to the satellites, and he said, we're down. He said, I can actually, from the satellite, go down to 2 millimeters by a millimeter square. We can get down to the bug on your shoulder.
Blade of grass.
It's crazy stuff.
Wow.
But, you know, these are all different things that we're going to hear in the next segment. We'll close out this one here in a second. But
well,
in third second.
I think it's smart to let the pros do what the pros do.
Well, we do.
I'm not a photographer, and I'm not
a
Matterport.
Well, we got a very expensive camera, but neither one of us know how to use it.
I know. I don't do very well with that.
But, you know, all this stuff, and it keeps changing, and marketing keeps changing. But the successful realtors in about 10% of us do all the business, it seems to be, in our industry. And those that continue getting education, like getting these GRIs and CCIMs and ALCs and SOIRs and IRMs and CRSs and these designations and the additional education, you know, we're the ones that stay ahead of the market and are successful, because we make the effort to get the additional education and to be part of like-minded people. So our guest today is Eric Andrews. This is Let's Talk Land. View thousands of properties for sale on landhub.com, our sponsor. So, Eric, our guest today for Realty World in Pittsburgh, North Carolina. You're a wonderful guest. You've got some great information. So we're going to go ahead and let's talk about how do you make money with real estate. And let's show people why and how to do that, Eric, with your expertise.
Sounds good.
All right, it's your turn.
Well, I just wanted to let people know that certainly one of the greatest, easiest ways people can accumulate wealth is through the purchase of real estate. You know, just when it comes to your primary residence, that's where the vast majority of Americans have their wealth, is the equity in their primary residence. You know, when we're younger or if we're in a different situation, there are times and we have to rent, but I think everybody knows that, you know, when you're paying a monthly rent, you're just burning that money every month. I mean, it's not building, it's not accumulating anything. And when you buy a primary residence, when you have a home yourself, you're paying yourself back. You're, you know, in the beginning, a lot of it's interest, but there is some principal, and gradually you start building up more and more principal, less and less interest, and you have accumulated wealth, and hopefully you buy in a great state like North Carolina, and the property's appreciating. So even though you're paying yourself back, you're lowering that principal, hopefully with the appreciation of real estate in your local market, you're accumulating wealth that way. And then we all know of the primary residence interest mortgage deduction is a great benefit to a lot of people. It helps with lowering your annual tax bill. So that's just part of the way I think you're going to play wealth, just on the primary residence alone.
Well, one other thing, let me
on that, and then I can talk about investment property.
Yeah, let me throw something in on that, a couple of things. One thing, people don't realize this, but if you'll pay extra on your mortgage, some people pay bi-monthly, getting that principal down gets that interest down. So by just doing that, it might be $50 extra. It doesn't have to be a whole lot of money. And then maybe one month it's $300 or $1,000. You know, you get a windfall or something, throw it against that mortgage. Because what you're doing is you're saving. You're talking about making money. This is how you make money with real estate. And obviously, after 2 years of primary residence, you're not involved with capital gains. So, you know, sometimes people buy a home and they stay in it 6 months and want to sell it, and that's fine. They can do what they want to do, but they won't be able to take advantage of that that non-capital gains hit that they'll get on their taxes. So, anything other else with improvements? There's certain improvements that actually add value to a home, and there's certain improvements that don't really. But you know, when we go look at a property, Eric, and I'm sure you do the same thing, we make suggestions on things to do, like painting, or go ahead and fix the leak in the roof, or, you know, different things. Or should I redo the bathroom, yes or no, or add to the kitchen, or those type of things. So there's a lot of good stuff on the websites that can cue you on. A good realtor can advise you. But, you know, there's a lot of stuff on the websites that will tell you things that add value to a home and things that don't add value to a home. So
yeah, Lou, one of the concerns that I always have is when you see someone that has converted their garage into living space, but then they don't build an additional garage. So you've increased the value because you have more living space now, and that's a good thing. But you now have a home without a garage that used to have a garage. A lot of the people that come from the Northeast love their garages. Even though they don't put the cars in them, people love garages.
Yeah, unfortunately, my wife does both. So we get the space to park. It's narrower and narrower as years go by. But anyway, plus
Lou, going back to what you said about paying extra on the mortgage.
Yes, sir.
I had a mortgage broker tell me that on a 30-year mortgage, if you make one extra payment per year, just do an extra and apply that to principal. A lot of banks want you to say, you know, you have to put on the check or make a notation, apply to principal. But if you make one extra payment per year, that 30-year mortgage drops down to a 22-year mortgage.
Yeah, and you can also do it by just adding each month. You know, you don't have to do one. Yeah,
exactly.
That's what I was saying. Just add $50 or $75, you know, that you write a separate check to and put that in there if principal only. And, you know, that's, or if you're doing it online, you can do the same thing. It gives you a choice of how much you can do and add to your escrow accounts if those are deficient too. So that's really one of the biggest ways to make money in a home. Investment. Mm-hmm. So, all right. Teresa, you got any questions around that?
No.
Okay. Teresa's still waiting for the land. She's sitting here.
No.
You know, the other thing, too, is one of the things that I found shocking is, believe it or not, half the people in the United States don't owe any money on their homes, which is
that's crazy.
Just goes to show that people do focus on paying off that mortgage, and that's a substantial amount of wealth. And then people can use a home equity line of credit to make other purchases.
Sure. Or it's a great credit, you know, if you're wanting to get money for other reasons without the home equity. You know, it looks good on your Beacon score and on your credit line because you've got that asset, you know, to pledge as collateral. So, you know, not a lot of people, I think, use that. They'd go for the equity line, and that's fine too. But, you know, you've got that as a major asset on your balance sheet. All right. You wanted to go into investment properties?
Yeah, so we do a lot of property management here, and so we have quite a few investors, and the majority of the brokers in our office have done some investing themselves. There's two things that we talk about, and you can't always do this, but I think it's very, very helpful to give the beginner a barometer of whether or not something is a good purchase. And one of the rules that we love in this office is the 1% rule. And so if a property costs $150,000, can you rent it for $1,500? Or if it's $90,000, can you rent it for $900? It's not... especially in this market where things have gone up a little bit, it's much tougher to do. But you could eat, and when there's a lot of stuff on the market in 06, 07, and 08, we could easily make that 1% rule. So it's a little bit harder today. It was a little bit easier 10, 15 years ago. But it's still a great, great barometer for you guys to evaluate a property. Will that property rent for 1% of the purchase price?
Hmm, that's a great rule right there.
That's a lot easier than cap rate and all that other stuff.
Yeah, so, but we love cap rates, too. We love cap rates, too, so that's something. And that gets a little bit complicated because, especially in our commercial properties, we might be talking about depreciation. And so your recapture rate can be a little bit complicated. It comes very close to the 1% rule, but you know, our favorite is, of course, the 10-year recapture. And if we can get paid back within 10 years, we're very, very happy. If we believe in a market and we think it's really, really appreciating fast, we might, in this market, we might bend it to 12 or 14 years. We don't like going above 14 as far as the recapture rate. And then, you know, we've sold properties here where you've had a 7 or 8 year recapture rate where everybody gets super excited. And, you know, that doesn't happen very often. We call those like lottery tickets. But
yeah.
If you can get something that pays itself for itself in 7 or 8 years, that's a really, really strong rental. And you know, you can't be too snobby as far as the rentals are concerned. You know, you can buy a really, really nice house for $300,000 or $400,000, but those we find that they have a cap on what you can collect rent on those. So like a $400,000 or $300,000 house in this market is probably going to rent for like $1,800 to $2,000. So it's not doing well on that 1% rule at all. Then we have sometimes $600,000, $700,000, and $800,000 homes. Well, those aren't getting anywhere near 1%. Those things are probably renting for like $2,400, $2,700, or maybe $3,000. So it's not even coming close. So, you know, that high end stuff. But then we'll have very nice manufactured homes or some homes out of the country. And those things, you know, you can pick those up still for $75,000, $90,000, or $100,000. And those things will rent all day long for $750,000 to $1,000. That's where we find there's a huge, huge demand under $1,000. Still pretty strong all the way up to $1,200, $1,250. And then once we get up to over $1,400 as far as a monthly rent is concerned, the numbers tend to soften. So there are sweet spots is what you want to find as an investment property in our rental market. Everybody's rental market is different. I suggest you talk to the local professional and figure out what stuff is running for. But those are the numbers in this particular market that we serve.
Yeah, that sure has helped me better than anything else really you got about in this whole show.
Wow.
That actually may have helped me just sell a property.
Teresa.
I'm telling you, that see? Right there, that information right there, is that was good for me.
That's why everybody should listen to the show. Yeah. We teach you how to make money with real estate, right?
And well, I've got a multi-unit that I'm trying to sell right now, and that is something that I needed to know and understand, and that helped me a lot.
Now you can run those numbers and promote, like I do on the one up in Retreat, you know, right. $30,000 on a weekend rental annual. Average, which is not bad on a $200,000 property, so that comes down pretty
quick.
That's
great. That's really, really good.
Yeah, and that's something, you know, that's very popular is these weekend rentals, and I strongly advocate that, especially for income. What about, I'll give you an example. My son-in-law and daughter bought their first house a couple years ago here in Pilot Mountain, and we were building some townhomes, and the guy came in and says, I'd like to buy one, but I got to sell my home first. So my son-in-law went over and said, let me look at it. And next thing you know, he called my daughter and says, we're buying another house. So they did, and they put up the for rent sign in the front yard. And this lady called, and she said, nobody will rent me a home because I've got pets. And they had just wooden fenced in their backyard. And, of course, they had pets, and there was no problem. And she said, how much? My daughter said $1,250. This lady says, I'll bring you a check for $2,400 and sign a lease. So they've got a $140,000 house that they're renting for $1,250. And between the two mortgages, it only increased their payment by like $100. So what do you feel about that? What do you feel about people buying that additional home that they rent out? Or, up, you know, scaling up or scaling down and keeping the other home, not selling it?
So I am biased. I think people underestimate how much of a job property management is, and whether or not they wish to be a property manager, whether or not they should serve that out to someone. So at our firm, we charge 10%. That's always negotiable, and you can talk to anybody. And
that's pretty standard.
There might be a real estate firm that you find that's 15%, or you might find another one that's 5%. But for us, we can't do the job that we need to do for our clients that make money at less than 10%. So we charge 10%. But I want people to realize that when you do a single rental like that, it could be an excellent. You have someone that's paying your mortgage. You have someone that's helping you build equity. So, of course, that's going to accumulate wealth. But I just don't want people to underestimate how much of a job being a landlord and your own property manager is. I think one of the things that we sell as a property management company is we're a buffer, we're a shield, we're just one level of communication between the two, and sometimes that needs to be.
Yeah, the hot water heater goes out at 3 o'clock in the morning, you get a phone call.
Yeah, exactly.
Or they haven't paid their rent in 2 months.
It'd be a great situation, but I just advise people to be careful in those situations.
What about?
I wouldn't want people to underestimate how much work it is.
I understand. What about the duplexes or the quads or the apartment complexes as an investment?
So we do some of those. We do find that unlike the single family residential, the multifamily has a lot more in and out. They like shorter-term leases. They're just more transient. They move from place to place, or they have different situations. But overall, I think they can be an excellent way to accumulate wealth. And then, you know, that the multifamily is a situation where you're taking depreciation as well. So that can have large benefit to a particular investor.
Okay. So what other type of, we're going to save land for last, but what other type of ways to make money in real estate?
Well, you know, the other aspect, and the whole different ballgame, is commercial rentals. And so I've diversified. I have some residential rentals myself, and I have some commercial rentals. And what I love about the commercial rentals is in this market, we do triple net. So unlike residential real estate where, you know, the tenant calls and says, my kitchen sink is leaking, with a commercial rental, they take care of everything. They are leasing the right to be there, and the landlord has little or no involvement. The only thing that we take care of, my personal commercial rentals or the ones that we manage, we usually have an exclusion for HVAC and roof. But anything else, the tenant takes care of.
Inside and out. Yep.
The tenant is reimbursing for insurance, and the tenant's reimbursing for property tax. So triple net.
Yep.
And that has, I mean, that has a lot of benefits to it because commercial properties in our market are doing very well. They're appreciating. We want to support the community. We want to have good, diverse businesses in our community. But in a lot of ways, the commercial rentals are pretty easy. You know, it's just cash and a check, which is nice.
Yep. Okay. Any other means of making money? We're going to save land for next. And anything else we got that you can invest in real estate and make money?
Well, you guys talked about the Airbnb. We have some clients that do that. We're not set up for that in our office. It's a little too quick for us, but we do have some clients that have made some purchases that they're very, very happy with Airbnb and the short-term weekend rental.
All right. You want to move to land? Our favorite subject.
Sure.
Let me just start out, if I may. My mother's family, the Lawrence family, my great-grandfather moved from Stokes County to Surrey County and bought 80 acres old schoolhouse, log house, back in 1909. And later, my grandfather moved over. And between 1909 and 1929, they bought 18 properties, non-contiguous, but all in that area. And a lot of them were farms. And over the years, they were tenant farmers. They rented the home and paid rent on the property, and our family built a really nice portfolio just by buying and renting and leasing property land, because you can rent land for crops, and of course you got timber. What are some of the other things you can make money on land in?
I think your crops, leasing for cattle, and timber. But where I really see people hit the home runs are on the flip.
Yeah, breaking them up. I've done over 60 yep. rural subdivisions where I'd go in and buy property, cut the timber, select cut. I didn't want to clear cut it, but select cut, you know, 14 inches, sometimes 16 inches and above, you know, the better trees, and had several loggers that were really good about cleaning up. So, you know, that helped for the visual. And, of course, less acres is worth more than more acres. In our area, and it may be in yours as well, as long as we stay 10 acres or more, we don't have to get the government involved. No public hearings, no planning boards, no no even surveys. I mean, I'd always have a boundary. But I broke paper up on paper or on the GIS, MapRights, who we use now. We give them a shout-out. Got a good program. And I call it flex property. I've been doing it for years, where I'll make a suggestion of a 12-acre track or 20-acre track. But when the client comes, I just finished one that was 140 acres with road frontage on three sides and two parcels across the road of 15 and I think the other one was 18 acres. Sold those separately. But then I broke up the rectangle part of it and actually made five tracks out of it. And I had one client come to me. He says, Lou, I see you've got this listed as a 18-acre track. He said, I can't quite afford that. Can I just buy 12 acres? And, of course, you know, common sense says that as long as it doesn't mess up the rest of it, do it. And, you know, the appraisal on the property was $600,000. And when I completed the project, which was 7 land sales over a period of 2 years, I actually brought the estate an additional, a little over $700,000 that I got for the property, calculated out to about 17.8% over and above of what the appraisal brought. Plus, it created cash flow for the clients. And but the buyers loved it too, Eric, because, you know, it wasn't here's a corner, here's a corner, here's a corner, here's a corner, take it or leave it. You know, I give them the flexibility of designing the property they want to invest in. It's kind of a very refreshing way for the buyers to, but a lot of them says, you're doing what? How can you do that? You know, so it was quite a mystery to some for a while. But the other thing too that you find in the rural areas is the tax deferment program, and it's pretty consistent around the state, where you know, if you have 20 acres or more of standing timber or certified timber, which is done by a forester that can do the cruise and do the report that you turn into the county, and 10 acres of pasture land or more, or 5 acres of cultivated land or more, producing at least $1,000 in some type of income on crops or animals leasing pasture, $1,000 a year, $3,000 over a three-year period, and you provide those reports each year to the county, you know, that last tract my granddaddy bought was 300 acres for $3,500, $11.77 an acre. That's worth about $1.5 million right now, which if you do the math, it's a almost solid 6% return on that investment over all these years. The timber's been cut on it twice. Hardwoods are usually an 80-acre cycle, so, you know, a lifetime, and that's been done. And the taxes, because what they do is in the deferment, they reduce the value of the property by a great percentage, and then they tax you at the normal rate on that number. So that particular piece of property, the annual taxes is $280 a year. Now, I think most people could afford that. Plus, the timber's been cut twice. Plus, it's appreciated 6% for all these years. So what's wrong with that picture?
It's not bad at all. One of the things that I find personally in my land investment, which is a whole topic for another show, is that most of the sellers of land own the land outright. And as an investor, they're willing to hold paper. If I put 20% down, they're willing to hold a note on it. And so we've done some owner financing on some particular tracts that I felt as though I needed to have. I figured would be that those tracts would eventually be in the way of progress. And I think I've done very well on those purchases. So. That's another avenue there.
We had one of our fellow ALCs on the program last year, Greg Huddle out of Georgia, but he's also licensed in Tennessee. And his dad, back in the 60s, used to buy land, and then he would repackage it and sell it. And what they do is it's $278 down, okay? No credit check. Write the check, and we'll give you deed of trust, and you can do all the improvements you want. And, you know, they've made a fortune doing this. And then he said, I can tell you exactly how many dumpsters it takes to put a double wide in, you know, because once they've improved the property and they, for, you know, they renege on their obligation and you foreclose on them, you know, any improvements, well, septic, driveways, fencing, you know, even structures, homes, barns, that now becomes your property, that piece of vacant land that you sold them for a down payment of $278 a year. And they'll carry that until they get enough equity where they can finance and buy it out. But you can make a lot of money with land if you know how to do it. Teresa, you had some questions?
What about when people come to you and they say, well, I know land has been going for, let's say, $3,000 an acre for a 50-acre tract. And their particular land has been on the market for years and years and has not sold, and it's pretty obvious it's sitting on the side of a mountain, and it's got good features and bad features. How do you talk to these people to make them understand that specific tract of land may not be worth exactly $3,200 an acre.
Well, who are we representing, the buyer or the seller?
The seller.
When seller. So, you know,
because
the hardest thing to do, especially for a newer agent, and it's one of the great, great benefits I had of being getting my ALC certification. I had a lot of good instructors, Lou being one of them, but, you know, you got to walk away. You just can't take that list. I mean, you have to put a value on your time. You have to put a value on your drone photography and your signage and you have to put a value on your name and reputation. And, it's probably not the answer you're looking for there, but, you know, it starts at the beginning. Taking it on, you should know what the price of that is before you agree to list it. And I know it's really, really hard because when we're young and eager and we're just starting out, we really want to have a listing, but it'll benefit you in the long run to wait and take on something that's appropriately priced and sells than signing one up that has unrealistic expectations. Now, I won't say I've never taken an overpriced listing, but I will tell you that I have signed 2, 3, and 5 year listings because, you know, there are places which I know are going to be hot. They're going to be on the new highway or they're going to be on a new 4-lane highway. And I say, look, the price that you want isn't there yet, but it will be there eventually. And if you're willing to work with me for a long time, I'm willing to work with you for a long time. But it's pretty tough to talk people down once they have their mind set on something.
I think that's good advice.
What else you got, Teresa? We only got a couple minutes left here.
Well, it's hard to talk to you about anything in less than a minute.
We'd make it a short question.
Because as soon as I start, you'll tell me to stop.
Oh. Well, we'll just have to have him come back.
Actually, he has answered. I mean, I had a lot of questions here, but he's answered them before
Eric's the
I
best.
Could even ask.
I told you
so
that.
It's been very informative.
We have to. Yeah. Every show, Teresa has to learn something, or it's not a good show.
Yeah.
So,
well,
so the professor has done well today.
I've learned two good somethings today.
Eric, we just got maybe, about 15 seconds left. Go ahead and give us your information on how they get in touch with you, please.
Well, I just wanted to let everybody know the value of the ALC certification. I highly, highly recommend that. Taking Lou's class, Land 101. But the way to reach me is eric@ericandrewsrealtor.com or just ericandrewsrealtor.com is the website.
And you got your email address?
Yep, eric@ericandrewsrealtor.com.
That's really easy. Hey, you've been a great guest today. And just stay on with us here for a second, and we'll close this out. All right, Rodney? Thank you for joining us today. Let us know how you like the show. If you have any questions or topics you'd like to suggest, we'd appreciate them. All questions are welcomed, and all of our guests may be emailed with your questions and or comments as well. You can go to the master website, letstalkland.net, and you'll find the guest email and website. So you've got a good way to get in touch with them. This show's for the public and, most importantly, for real estate agents who do not have a source for land education. All shows are downloaded after the show this morning on our master website, www.letstalkland.net, Podbeam, and Spotify. Teresa, how do they get in touch with you?
Teresa, teresa.mylandpro@gmail.com or 336-209-2937.
Really?
Yep.
I didn't get it. Say it one more time.
336-209-2937. And text me if you can't get through. Sometimes my phone is funny.
You got a funny phone?
I have a funny phone.
Oh, goodness.
I live in a funny area.
You do live in a funny area. It's a beautiful area.
It is.
But you're in the country.
I'm in the country.
My email is lou@mylandpro.com. My cell number, which is always on, is 336-669-1405. 336-669-1405. Hey, our sponsor is LandHub.com. Are you looking to buy or sell land? LandHub.com previews thousands of property nationwide. That's LandHub.com. if you want to sell your property without the realtor for sale by owner, Land Hub's a great place. So go to the website and hook up with them. Roddy, how do they get in touch with us here?
Well, they can go to our website, Lou. They can go to WKTE1090.com and check out our website there. And also to listen to us, you can go to the Simple Radio app and download that.
Simple Radio app. And what does that do for you?
That will get you listening to happy music, get you in a good mood.
Happy music. Anywhere in the universe.
Anywhere.
So you can listen to happy music, and then you can listen to this show.
That's right.
Every Saturday
morning.
From 9 to 10.
That's right.
All right. Hey, we got some awards.
That's right. 5 years in a row of being the top beach and oldies radio station on the East Coast.
Beach and oldies. Only happy music.
Only happy music.
All right. Now. You got a nice award.
Yeah, the 2019 Reader's Choice Award for Announcer of the Year for 2019.
That was the whole East Coast, wasn't it? I mean, like from Maine to Florida?
Probably, yeah. Something like that.
All those. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you were it.
Amazing, isn't it?
I don't understand.
It's amazing.
Well, thank you for joining us today. Hey, stay tuned to Dr. Barbie. He's next. He's always got something good to help you out.